Amen. We are continuing our look in the book of 1 John. Last week we talked on the love and hate. Can you love and hate at the same time? It seems almost like an oxymoron. But the scripture tells us that we can. No one can serve two masters. Either they will hate one and love the other, or they will be devoted to one and despise the other. That great Canadian pastor, A.B. Simpson, gave us this quote, "A divided heart loses both worlds." And this is really the theme that John gives us. There's two paths by which you can go down. There are two teams by which you can claim membership of. There are two processes by which we make decisions and live our lives. We want to say that there's more, and the world would indicate to us there are more, but the scripture says there's just two. And we're going to see that theme repeated today as we finish up the second chapter. We're going to be in verses 18 through 29. Hold on, I'm doing a little cable work back here. If it doesn't lay just right on my back, it bugs me. Anybody else, you have that problem at home? When your mic cable doesn't lay just right on your back? And yeah, it's tough. It's first world problem, but it's still a problem. Anyway, so we're going to finish up chapter 2 today. Let's go. Dear children, the last hour is here. You have heard that the Antichrist is coming. And already many such antichrists have appeared. From this we know that the last hour has come. I want to take exception with Dr. David Jeremiah for teaching on the Antichrist this morning. How dare he step on me? I am going to wage a formal protest. Because I was listening to him this morning. I said, now these people are coming here and expect me to do that. Or, which this is the one I prefer more than others, great minds think alike. So let's look at some free stuff real quick, shall we? The Antichrist. This is a term that makes people go, what? Now, whether you're a believer or an unbeliever, you say Antichrist, everyone's got an opinion. It's either the president they didn't want, the pope they don't understand, or, you know, an ex-boyfriend, girlfriend, you know, a football team, Aggies, I don't know. But when you say the word Antichrist, it gets people's attention. I love this painting. The artist is rendering is so beautifully creepy. Do you like that? If you noticed, this person who is supposed to be Jesus, or give you the impression of, he just doesn't look quite right, right? And then if you notice, the horned individual who's whispering into his ear, his left arm is actually slid in and taking the place of that individual's left arm. That is beautifully creepy right there. And you can quote me on that one. So we must understand the difference between the spirit of Antichrist and the capital T, capital A, Antichrist. They aren't the same thing. They are the same principle, but they're not the same thing. So let's take a quick look. The word Antichrist means against or instead of. Let's say that together, shall we? Against or instead of. It's important that we remember those two words. Let's say it one more time. Against or instead of. The Antichrist denies the Father, denies the Son, and in denying the Son, denies his deity or denies his incarnation. That means when he took on human flesh, denies his sinlessness. Let me just say this. If Jesus sinned, you're lost. Go home. You're wasting your time. Jesus is either sinless or you're hopeless. Don't buy into the lie. They deny his atonement, that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't enough. Jesus took it to the 99th yard, but you've got to carry it that last yard. My friends, Jeff said in the Sunday school class that this, we come to Jesus with nothing. Let's say nothing together, shall we? Nothing. Jesus paid it all. It also calls into question the resurrection. Did he really die? Was he really resurrected, or was he just snatched things? And it also calls into question his return. The spirit of Antichrist diminishes or disregards altogether biblical truth. while discouraging others from considering and exploring the things of faith for themselves. It's not only that a person diminishes biblical truth or disregards it, but then they may passively or intentionally dissuade or discourage others. Have you ever had someone, you told them, hey man, I'm going to church, or I may have become a Christian, and they go, what do you need all that nonsense for? That's what it looks like. Why do you go down to that church? It's just full of hypocrites. That's what it looks like. All the pastor wants is your money. That's what it looks like. And so how long has this been around? Well, let's just say since the 60s. No. It's been around a little longer. Let's go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, spirit of Antichrist, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
But God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Spirit of Antichrist, did he really say? She says, that's what he said. Well, what did he say? If you touch it, you'll die. Verse 4, you will not certainly die. The serpent says, you will not certainly die, diminishing God's word. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God. The spirit of Antichrist. Remember, it's anti or something else, something other. Listen, if you're not anti-God, but you're your own God, Antichrist. Your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and she ate it. That's how long the spirit of Antichrist has been in the mortal realm. The Antichrist will be an ultimate embodiment of what it means to be against Christ. In the end times or the last hour, depending on how you want to refer to it, a man will arise to oppose Christ, his followers, and more than anyone else in history. There's a person called the Antichrist. Likely claiming to be the true Messiah, the Antichrist will seek world domination. And Dr. David Jeremiah did step on me today a little bit. I do not believe the Antichrist will be a warlord. I do not believe the Antichrist will be a politician. I do not believe the Antichrist will be a religious leader. Ladies and gentlemen, in my opinion, say that with me, my opinion. In my opinion. I want to be very clear. In my opinion, I believe the Antichrist will be a man of monetary means and mind. I believe the world will fall into line, not because of war, not because of political persuasion, but because of monetary necessity. You say, Jimmy, I think you're overstretching. Am I? Have you ever heard of something called cryptocurrency? Yeah. Let me ask you this. I'm not going to ask for your bank records, but let me ask you this. Let's just say America. Let's just say. Can I say America, Kelly? America. If someone put together a process by which every nation in our world could financially reset, and the people of those nations, you and me, could reset, your debt burden would go to zero. How many nations and how many people in those nations would line up for that? You see, I don't believe there will be a shot fired. I believe it'll be an economic coup. And the world will fall in line, or it'll fear falling apart. That's just me. That didn't cost you anything extra. So, you know, love me or hate me. I get this question a lot. Do you ever get this question? Is Antichrist alive today? Maybe. You can't prove he's not. I can't prove he is, but you know what? He might be. So what does that mean to us? Oh, we need to get really scared. You need to sell everything you can, dig a hole, and pull the hole in behind you. No. No. You need to be prepared. And you need to help other people be prepared. Listen, we live in a world that is crazy, man. If I could take a 60 terms, it's crazy, man. But that's all right, because I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I know what his word says. If he's alive today, fine. You know why it's fine? Because that means Jesus is coming. Giddy up! Doesn't scare me. Verse 19, these people left our churches, but they never really belonged with us. Otherwise, they would have stayed with us. When they left, it proved that they did not belong to us. Let's look. The departed of the unpersuaded. Not everyone who comes to church stays in church. I'm thankful that I did. Amen? Ooh, right over there. I don't know if y'all are all that thankful right there. Natalie, are you thankful you stayed? Yeah? Okay. Say amen. There we go. All right. If you are in this building, or if you have been in this building, or if you are with us digitally, I want you to know this is the place that you are welcome and wanted to come and explore the things of faith. Come and sit among us. Come and worship with us. Come and serve alongside of us. Come and ask questions. Any question you have, we'll do our best to answer it. But let me say this. Unashamedly and unapologetically, it is my goal, and it is the goal of Authentic Life Fellowship, that everyone who steps inside these doors, whether physical or digital, at some time in their life would come to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. I am unapologetic. Now listen, I'm not going to try to shame you into it. I'm not trying to guilt you into it. I'm not going to try to wrangle you into it, because if I can do that, someone can do that to you and take you out of it. But the goal of Authentic Life Fellowship, first and foremost, is to know Jesus and to make Jesus known and to make disciples. Amen? That's why we're here. That is it. And so there are those that will come, but in time, the wrestling with the word and the world begins to rub up against each other. Oh, man, you know. Oh, man, when the Holy Spirit starts to rub up against your reality, it gets some friction going. And I don't know about you, but I don't really enjoy discomfort. I walk with it pretty much every day. I don't wake up every day going, oh, thank you, Lord, that my hands won't bend. I don't like that. Thank you, Lord. I just don't like it any more than anyone else. But when you come and you put yourself under the authoritative teaching of God's word, the world and the word begins to rub up against each other. You know why? Because they're two different worlds. One is of the light and one is of the darkness, and the two cannot coexide. And we begin to rub, and you begin to feel that Holy Spirit begin to speak to you, and you begin to think about the things in your life, and you begin to think, I'm just me. I'm an expert on me. For me, it was this. Everything I had done before was wrong to varying degrees, and some of it was completely wrong. I went from bar ditch to bar ditch. That was the story of my life. And the day I got saved, it was this, man. I got to do something different. Thank God I had enough sense to go, I need to do something different. And we begin to rub up. But you know what happens is sooner or later, we're going to have to make a choice. Sooner or later, our heart is going to have to decide, because it won't live in that tension very long. And then for those that choose the world, like I did, we choose the world and we go out into the world and then we justify why we left the church. We find reasons. This one's always fun. It's just full of hypocrites. I couldn't spell it. I couldn't really give you a good definition, but I'd heard people say it. And that was mine. It's just full of hypocrites. What does an 18-year-old know about hypocrisy other than he's a big bucket full of it? But we do. Listen, we justify. We vindicate our decision. Well, Jimmy, why'd you stop going to the gym? Well, they're only open 24 hours a day. What's a man to do? I tell you what, that one lady one time, she sweat one bead drop, fell on that thing, and she didn't wipe it off. I'm out, man. What am I? You know what I'm saying? My car won't even turn left to go in that, you know. We justify our decisions, don't we? Well, those who come into the church and spend time with the church and find that tension between the word and the world will have to choose. And sometimes they depart from us. And you know what? Okay. At least you came and gave us an honest hearing. At least you came and explored for yourself. You didn't listen to what the digital world said. You didn't just buy the lie. I respect people who will come and do a diligent search for themselves. Now, not everybody who leaves goes away. Some will depart the fellowship, but some will distort the fellowship. They'll distort the teachings. Listen, you can't swing a dead cat without hitting bad teaching these days. They will distort the purpose of the church. They will distort the practices of the church. They will distort the passions of the church. What should make us passionate? Knowing Jesus and making him known. Not claiming he's going to fill our pockets when we fill his offering plates. Amen? Woo! Kelly, say that for me again. All right, thank you. This prosperity theology, Jeff touched on that this morning. Listen, God doesn't promise what they're preaching. And then lastly, and ultimately, they'll end up destroying the people. Case in point, little cat named David Koresh, perhaps you've heard of him. He didn't leave the church, but he destroyed one. Walked those poor people down to Waco. Taught them that he was the Messiah. Let me just say this. My Jesus don't need glasses. I'm a simple theologian, ladies and gentlemen. First time I saw him, I went, well, that's not my Jesus. My Jesus got 20/20. And then how about this cat? You guys remember him? Led those poor people all the way down to Guyana. Murdered them. We'd have been better if he had just left the church. But you are not like that. For the Holy One has given you his spirit, and all of you know the truth. So I am writing to you, not because you don't know the truth, but because you know the difference between the truth and a lie. When we go through that great exchange, when we give God our sinfulness and he gives us his righteousness, not only does he give us his righteousness, but he gives us the power, the presence, and the promise of his Holy Spirit. God indwells us for eternity's sake. And that Holy Spirit gives us a commonality. John encourages the faithful. God's Spirit dwells within them. And if you've trusted Jesus on his terms, God's Holy Spirit is indwelling you as well. They can discern the truth from a lie. You ever just get that icky feeling? When you know you see something and there's something inside you go, eh, that's God's Holy Spirit. You ever get that and something's going on and something in your mind goes, run away. That's God's Holy Spirit. When you get this idea of, I don't think I should be doing that, that's God's Holy Spirit. On the flip side of the coin, when you feel you need to do this, that's God's Holy Spirit. Well, God, I don't want to do it. Well, you need to do this. Well, God, I don't think they'll appreciate it. You need to do this. God, if I give them a little money, all they're going to do is get high. But you need to do this. God's Holy Spirit helps us to discern truth from a lie. And they are faithful to the faith and to the family of God. We need to be about encouraging one another. Amen? Now, as Christians, we're called to be modest, and that's not what I'm talking about here. But don't you like to get a little compliment every now and then? Okay, y'all are too humble. Okay, it's just me. I mean, I just got to tell you, man, my wife goes, hey, I really like that you did such and such. That does a lot for me. Cody, you know I do. You know I do. Hey, you know I love you. My love doesn't need words. Scripture says, but encourage one another, what? Daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Listen, it's hard to live the Christian life. And sometimes the greatest difficulty is in our own brains. Do you ever criticize yourself? I'm the master of that. I've got a PhD of hating on me. That's t-shirt worthy right there. I do. I'm my own worst enemy. Ask my bride. But you know what? As saints, we need to encourage one another with a good word. Because if we're both walking with the Lord, we know that if there's any good thing within us, what? It's from the Lord. But it's sure nice to know that someone sees, hey, man, you're making a difference. Hey, lady, you know, I see Christ in you. We can do that and not be breaking God's rules. A few weeks back now, Brother Bob Lehman and his bride Doris has been a part of my life since 1974. He was pastor at Highland Terrace Baptist Church at the time. This gentleman had the privilege or responsibility of burying both of my parents. Brother Bob went to be with the Lord a few months ago. But I saw his bride, Doris, recently. And she walked up to me, and she says, Jimmy, she goes, I don't know if you know me, but I'm Doris, Brother Bob's wife. And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, ma'am, I just want you to know, I loved and respected your husband. He was a godly man. And she goes, well, I want you to know that we've been watching your life, and we are proud of you. The only thing I saw of my mother's funeral is what I could see out of the hospital window on the fourth floor as I laid up there broken, bloodied, and in traction. But to know that that man and his bride thought of me just once, much less more than once, and somehow kept up, and then to say something like that, I got to tell you, it means the world to me. It's important. Let's be about encouraging one another in the way of the Lord, shall we? Verse 22. And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son doesn't have the Father either. Let me just say this. If anyone ever goes, well, I believe in God, it's Jesus I don't believe in, it don't flow that way. Jim, let me ask you this. If they said, hey, we want you, but your bride's not welcome, we're going to have problems. But anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Again, John draws this clear distinction. There's the light and the dark. Either you accept the Father and His Son, or you're living in darkness. You're walking in darkness. You're at least abiding and believing to some degree in the darkness. So you must remain faithful to what you have been taught from the beginning. If you do, you will remain in fellowship with the Son and with the Father. And in this fellowship, we enjoy the eternal life He promised us. I am writing these things to you to warn you about those who want to lead you astray. Faithfulness produces fellowship. To have fellowship with others, you must have a oneness of heart. There has to be something that binds you together. Now, you can have things in common, but if you're going to have a sustaining, meaningful fellowship, there has to be a commonality of heart, okay? Amos 3:3 says this, can two walk together unless they are agreed? I have been all around the world. I do not speak whatever it is they speak in Jakarta, Indonesia. I do not speak Chinese. I do not speak Russian. I speak Spanish very little and poorly. But I can say this, in each of those places, when I stood among the fellowship of believers, there was a fellowship. The Spirit bared witness to the Spirit, and it was beautiful, and it was tangible, and it was powerful. Believers have true fellowship with one another, what? Because of the Holy Spirit that indwells us. We can agree on a lot of things, but when we have the Holy Spirit, there is something more. I can't even put handles on it. John says this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. Believers have a true fellowship with one another because of the Holy Spirit that indwells them. It's important to know that fellowship comes with the, it comes through the exclusiveness of Jesus Christ. Look what John says that Jesus says. Jesus says what? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, he didn't stutter. Now, the world can decide, but either Jesus is Lord, he's a liar, or he's a lunatic. The world has to decide that. I know where my flag stands. He's the Lord. Jesus says if we want to have fellowship with the Father, and if we want to enjoy the fellowship of the saints, there's only one way, and he is that way. But you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives with you, so that you do not need anyone to teach you what is true. For the Spirit teaches you everything you need to know, and what he teaches is true, it is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. So Spirit-led learning requires a few things. Amen? Amen. This is going to be good right here. You ready? Now, Kelly, you can have this. You don't even have to give me credit, okay? All right. First of all, you must be saved. You can't have Spirit-led learning if you don't have the Holy Spirit. It's kind of in the name. You have to be saved. You've got to be in submission to the biblical authority. What does that mean? The Bible tells you what's true. You don't tell the Bible what's true. Amen? Yes. That's the problem in our world. I know what the Bible says, but you remember that lady named Eve? Yes, God did say, but you have to be in submission to biblical authority, sensitive to God's still small voice. God doesn't always yell. The truth is, I really don't want to have to be in a place where God has to yell at me. Lord, I'm listening. But we have to be sensitive to that. We have to be longing for that. We have to put ourselves in a position to hear that. Listen, sometimes we just got to turn off the noise. Sometimes we've just got to close our mouths and listen to what he's saying. But we have to be sensitive to the still small voice. We have to be studious in God's word. We've got to keep going back to it and going back to it and going back to it and going back to it. And then lastly, we have to have sustained practices of his principles. We have to do what he says to do. And when we do that, guess what? Our Bible study gets better. Our faith gets stronger. Our lives improve. And then now lastly, I jumped ahead. Strength to stand against the trials. My friends, Jeff said it earlier. Life is hard, and sometimes it's real hard, and that's the way of life. But if we're doing Spirit-led learning, his Spirit and our spirit with his word and promises and his history of fulfilling his word will give us the strength to stand during difficult days. When you turn on the news and you find yourself discouraged, know this: Jesus is coming. And there's not a thing that takes place that God doesn't know. And whoever rises or whoever sits down is still under the authority of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Verse 28, and now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame. Since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that all who do what is right are God's children. So, I remember when I was a young lad, and to say that I was a challenge could be sometimes a gross understatement. I grew up in a house of 8 kids. Whew. It's free for all. And my sweet mom would, she had her way of disciplining and things, right? But you knew you'd bear trapped when you heard these words. Perhaps you've heard of them. Well, just wait till your dad gets home. Reagan, is that the way it is at your house? Because I'm going to tell you the truth. And my dad's online. There were times I could get over on my mom. But dad, was a different sheriff. And when I had crossed that line and stepped into that bear trap and I'd heard those words, wait till your dad gets home. My dad got home at about 5:08. He drove from L3, whatever it was named then, E-Systems, Raytheon. And it took him about 8 minutes to get from that plant to our door. And I want you to know, I wasn't ready to see Dad. It made his coming a little bit more anxious. Because my dad was going to come in after a hard day's work and have to hear reports of his knuckleheaded kids. And he had to be the heavy. I didn't look forward to that. I wasn't ready to meet Dad. Now, there were other times I was excited. But John encourages us to remain faithful to what God has called us to do, because just like Dad came home at 5:08, Jesus is coming. One day in your lifetime, you will see Jesus. Whether we step to him through the doorway of death or whether he comes for us all at once, because the Antichrist is alive. Yes, I'm a pre-rapture tribulation, a pre-tribulational rapturist, unapologetically. You know the difference between a pre, post, and mid-tribber. Pre-tribber says, God loves me enough, he's going to take me out. Post-tribber goes, I got something to prove for God, so bring it on. Mid-tribber goes, I can only take so much. But ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, it is a strong motivator of my life that when I see Jesus, whichever way it is I see him, that I will not have a desire to shrink away from him because of disobedience, sinfulness. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But Jesus says I'm welcome there. And when I step foot into the promise, I do not want Jesus' word to be delayed one iota. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Let that be the motivation of our lives. Not because it's going to buy me some. I get a lot of grief from certain people in this church saying that my mansion's going to be up on a hill. Listen, I'm just thankful to be in the room. My faithfulness does not change anything in heaven. You know why? Because it's all him and none of me. That's the reason. There's no braggarts in heaven. You know why? Because I would have been one. Oh, yeah, Kelly Reagan? Well, let me tell you what I did. No. But I want to be faithful. I want to do the best I can while I can, because Jesus is worthy of it. But one day, I don't want to shrink away from seeing my Heavenly Father. I don't want to shrink away from seeing my Savior. I want to be able to step forward in humility and gratitude. And hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. Are we ready to meet Jesus? And if you're here today, or if you're with us through the digital doorway, have you trusted Jesus to be your personal Savior? Has there been a time? Has there been a place? Because my friend, if you have not, you are not. You are not. Is the Antichrist alive today? I don't know, but if he is, that means that things are going to pop off sooner than later. And I just want you to know, you're not ready, but you can get ready. Are we in the last days? We were in the last days as soon as Jesus returned to the Heavenly Father. He says, I'll be back. Oh, Jimmy, they've been saying that 2,000 years. We're closer to than we are far away from. I had a conversation this week, and it was so classic. I just don't believe, and blah, 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 blah. And I just asked this simple question. I said, you're a wagering man? And he goes, yeah. I said, okay. I said, so, if I'm wrong, the Bible's not true, heaven's not real, if I'm wrong, what have I really lost? I said, but if you're wrong, you've got eternity apart from Jesus in a place called hell. Is it worth that risk? Well, he didn't come to know Jesus, but I made him think about it. Let's be ready. Let's be ready. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and Father, we thank you that by faith through Jesus Christ and his completed sinless works, we are fit for heaven. Father, we thank you for the great exchange of our sinfulness for your righteousness. Father, we thank you that in that exchange we received your Holy Spirit, that he eternally dwells within us, Lord, that gives us your wisdom, your strength, your courage, your conviction. And Father, I pray today for each and every one of us, beginning with myself, Lord, that we will live with the end in mind. Lord, that we will live with that glorious day when our faith becomes sight. Father, that we will be able to stand in humble confidence before Jesus because we lived our very best life by him, through him, and for him. And Father, I pray for anyone under the sound of my voice, wherever in the wide, wide world they may hear it, Lord, who has not yet trusted Jesus as their personal Savior, Lord, I pray that they will do it right now. For today is the day of salvation. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but your word tells us what is coming. Father, we love you and we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for the strength and the courage and the love that it shows to us. Father, help us to be found faithful when you come for us or we come to you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. And all of God's people said, amen.